I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Dutch, if I really, really would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give you information, asking for the quick blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Senses not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to hour number two of the Common Sense Show. We are really pleased to be with you. Much thanks and gratitude go out to the Hagmans each and every week, and this week in particular, Joe Hagman, who joined us. And what an interesting hour Joe gave us. Thank you so much for that, Joe. And again, their show airs right here on Global Star Radio Network, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern. And you'd be hard-pressed to find a better show. And they have such great guests on there, including our good friend Steve Quayle and so many others. Ted Brower's on there a lot. And, you know, we're going to try to get Ted on the last, or I shouldn't say the first show of the year. And yeah, we are going to broadcast on January the 1st. And I think everyone will be feeling much better by evening. And we are not going to broadcast, obviously, on Christmas. We will have a replay up for you, though, if you're sitting around saying, well, you know, we're kind of done with Christmas and so forth and so on. But we're going to do some Christmas night stuff, and we always do because we have so many family members. My wife has a huge family, and we are pulled in so many different directions. We're all able to coalesce in the late afternoon, early evening. And that time of year, you know, family has to take precedence, and so we will not be doing a show on the 25th, but we will next week, and I'll talk more about that show in the third hour. Doug will be on next week, and sometimes hard for me to keep straight. Is it Doug or is it Joe this week? And boy, do they bring us good stuff. Well, I want to talk about our sponsors again. You're going to hear an interview with Robert Kudla in the first part of the third hour. And this guy knows his stuff. And not only does he know his stuff, he's going to help people make money. All you got to do is listen to him. Even in tough financial times, he's able to pull through a lot of his people to make money in the toughest of times. He has a proven track record. But what he says is coming economically, man, oh, man, oh, man. When you hear this, you're going to think, oh, I better get prepared. Well, one of the things you need to prepare for is get your money the hell out of the bank. And I don't mean all of it. I know you got to pay your bills and have your operating fund and so forth. But whatever you've got, I would convert it. And we've done this. You know, I'm one of Steve Quayle's customers. I mean, Steve and I aren't just friends and colleagues. You know, we have a business relationship. I trust the man implicitly. And he'll tell you if this is not right for you. He'll ask you a few questions, and if he thinks you won't benefit from it, he'll tell you, go buy food. You'd be better off buying food than doing this. And he'll be totally honest with you, and I get rave reports from people who I referred to Steve, and they are so thankful, and I am too. We have peace of mind. Hide some of that gold and silver, though, when you get it. But convert your soon-to-be worthless cash into gold and silver. How do you do that? Give Steve a call. Talk to him. Talk to the man himself. 1-800-627-3809. 1-800-627-3809. And, well, it's just, like I said, it makes so much sense. Well, another sponsor in, I mentioned again in the first hour, Bob Griswold, who's a frequent guest on this show. Why? Because he knows what the heck he's talking about. I mean, his background is really interesting, and he's been in a lot of places and done a lot of things, and he's seen it all. And that's why he has one of the most successful, if not the most successful, prepping site in our country. And it's located at readymaderesources.com. readymaderesources.com. And he has everything. Night vision. He has the best AR-15s, and the way that you put them together keeps him from breaking down at critical times. He has a water treatment. He has a way that you can water and produce your own garden. I mean, there's a way, something you need to survive what's coming. Bob Griswold has it all. Now, I would recommend spend some time on his website, readymaderesources.com, and just look around and say, you know, I don't have this, I don't have that, and go in with your checklist. In fact, you know, I should probably republish an article I wrote. I think it was entitled 17 Things You Need After the Collapse. Because it has, I can't claim it has everything, but it has most of what you're going to need that's really critically important. But I would recommend that you go there and that you pay attention to this. And I'm telling you, he has everything there is. Anyway, readymaderesources.com, and then give him a call, 1-800-627-3809. And when the collapse does happen, and notice my choice of words, if Donald Trump does survive everything we're going through, and even if Hillary Clinton is able to usurp the election from him, we're still going to have a collapse. We're going to still see the globalists pull the plug, even though there are a lot of corporations warming up to Donald Trump's notions that, hey, we like tax breaks, we don't really want to relocate overseas, it's inconvenient, hard to manage the empire, and just make our tax laws competitive, and then they got the stick out there at 35% tax that Joe Hagman and I were talking about. Well, you know, folks, that is the bottom line, is that it's going to come. It's going to happen. Are you prepared? Now, you don't have to buy from us, but you need to buy from somebody. You need to have a way, and if you're already prepared, great. God bless you. Share your knowledge with your neighbor. Share your knowledge with your coworkers. But I use Numana, because I believe in Numana. We've had Daniel Brigman on the show a number of times, and he too knows what's going on. And Daniel has, in my book, the best durable food that's out there, Numana Foods. And I am a proud distributor of Numana Foods. And because I think they like the fact that I don't make up stories and I don't embellish here, although I do think it's restaurant-quality food, but Numana has given me permission to give 5% off. Simply use the coupon code HodgesNOV5 after you log on to the website, Numana.com/Hodges. That's Numana.com/Hodges. Really good stuff. Now, one other product I want to talk to you about, since we're getting the advertising out of the way here as quickly as possible so we can get to the meat of the interview. But you know, we're going to pay the bills, but also, too, I think if you step back and you look at the products we make available to you, there are what people need when things are going south. I turned down advertising on this site, and many of you have been with me for a while. Hear that. I've turned down radio stations that demand I do a commercial break every 12 minutes, and I've walked away from a lot of them. And there's some that just come pick up our feed, and I know they interject their commercials. God bless you. That's fine. You know, people don't want to listen to that. They can go right to the Common Sense Show and listen to Dave live. Go to Global Star, listen to us live there. Catch us on the archive, you know, YouTube. But the bottom line is, folks, is that we try to make everything available to you in terms of good product. I've got one more. When you think that things are going to go south, is your doctor going to be there to write you a prescription? Do you really think that? Do you think you're even going to have medical services? You're going to be banding with your neighbors to protect what's yours. What are you going to do when health problems strike? Well, you know, you've heard me talk about health products on this show. I've turned mostly to natural health care, healthmasters.com. And I recommend Ted Brewer's company strongly. You have heard testimonies from myself and Doug Hagman about how they have restored what was ailing us. Me from torn meniscus, you know, all the way to when I was having blood sugar problems last year and respiration problems. And, you know, Ted got me going, and I owe him a lot. I know Doug Hagman feels the same way. Go to healthmasters.com, and you have a coupon code there you can use to take 5% off. And simply, the coupon code is Hodges, H-O-D-G-E-S. That's healthmasters.com. Well, that's basically who helps make these broadcasts possible. And it's what enables me to not have to use commercial advertising, you know, every 12 minutes. And I'll tell you, it's tempting because we could increase our reach and increase the number of people we wake up. But I want to be more content-oriented, so I appreciate your patience in all this because these people allow me to do the broadcasting I do. Well, I want to read to you very, very quickly here. You know what? Let me catch that. I'll cover this with Paul Martin in the third hour. Todd, let's go ahead, and I'm going to play the interview with Paul Preston, and it's a story about how California is trying to leave the country and who's behind it, prepared to be shocked. Todd?
Hi, this is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, where we are freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And have we got a story for you today? This is the story of the time, and I think this could mushroom into something much bigger than anyone can realize. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the breakup of the United States. And it looks like the root of this could very well be in California. I've written some about this, but not to the level that you're going to hear in this interview. Joining me is Paul Preston, Agenda 21 Radio, Red State Radio, and he has the inside scoop. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me on, Dave.
Well, Paul, let's get started here. I've written about CalExit. I've written the fact that Jerry Brown is seemingly in favor of this and that there are various and sundry and nefarious forces that are behind this, and the potential for this event could be cataclysmic to the, not just California, but to this country. So I'll let you just start wherever you'd like.
Well, sure. We've been following, of course, we're on Agenda 21 Radio, we're very deeply involved in the Jefferson movement, the state movement, the movement to create a 51st state, put another star on the flag, and make it a more perfect union, which is what America is all about. You know, we have a flag, we have the United States, and they're united as states under the federal flag. And, of course, when you become a state, you earn the star. So we're trying to earn the star right now as a state of Jefferson, which is basically the one-third portion of Northern California that's in play here. And it's a viable movement. It's a strong movement. It is going to happen, and it will happen legally and lawfully through the workings of our own Constitution in California, but also the United States Constitution, which provides for the formation of a state. What we're talking about, though, is a secessionist movement similar to that we found in the Civil War, with the South seceding, leaving the United States of America to form its own new country. And what they're doing with, quote, CalExit, which used to be known as Yes, California, is they're proposing a plebiscite, if you will. In fact, I've got the papers that they actually filed here on Monday with the Secretary of State here in California to form this plebiscite, which would actually cause the formation, at least in their thinking, of a new country. And that country would be actually given over to the United Nations. Basically, the country would be functioning as a functionary, if you will, of the United Nations. So we became quite concerned about this actually several years ago, because that's Yes, California. It came up on the ballot, and as we, you know, it came up as an issue that possibly could be out there competing with the Jefferson movement. And we understand that this actual movement started about 5 years ago, and then started to receive funding about 6 months ago, 3 to 6 months ago in that range, from various sources. And the two sources that they started getting money from were some of the nonprofits that were affiliated with the George Soros Foundations, and also with another one called the Ryuichi Sasakawa Foundation. And, of course, that perked our interest incredibly when we saw that happening. And so we've been following this and researching it all the way through. They just recently changed their name to CalExit, hashtag CalExit. And now I bring this up to everybody because this is the one world globalist response to the election of Donald Trump. And their response is to break up the United States, to take a star off the flag and go to 49 states. And then have the nation state of California actually be run by Governor Jerry Brown Jr., which is kind of interesting. He will become, I call him, the El Presidente. And we actually caught wind of this about a year and a half ago, because Peña, the Mexican president, came to California, and then Jerry Brown went down to Mexico. And what I was hearing from my people in the state capitol was, gee, Jerry Brown's starting to act a little bit more presidential than as a governor. You gotta remember, he's a three-time loser on the presidential circuit. And so that kind of piqued my interest, and then more research, and then so I started calling him, somewhat as a joke initially, El Presidente of California, because he was also caught up in a scam that was starting to form a regional governance system. And as we understand it, it was between Castro, the Castro brothers in Cuba, and it was also with Peña of Mexico, California, Oregon, Washington, and parts of Canada. And this is all with the support of Justin Trudeau, who ultimately became, you know, president of Canada. And so this regional governance type of system started to look a lot like a nation state. And of course, Katie Grimes of ReaganBaby.com wrote a brilliant article about this and exposed and outed Jerry Brown for what he was doing with this. He called it an energy consortium, if you will, at the time. It was anything but an energy consortium. It was drawing up boundaries. And as we were finding out, he was going into agreements, through Katie's article, agreements with Canada, Mexico, and Cuba. Well, a governor is forbidden by constitutional law to do that. That's the president's responsibility. So that's why I started tagging him with the terminology, El Presidente. And, of course, now what we have is a situation as we start to look at the major players, and Donald Trump got elected, and this has actually stymied and stopped the globalists, as you know, to break up California and the rest of the nation. This has been their goal, dissolve the borders, and so that we have one world governance. And California is the first target for them. If California goes, the rest of the nation goes. That's their mentality. That's their thinking. That's what they say. So we have been very proactive here on Agenda 21 Radio to try and preserve the nation and spell it out to the people that the notion is that they're going to dissolve the borders of all the states and all the counties and all the cities. And by the way, if you have regional governance in your county or state, they've done a very good job of doing that. These regional governance organizations are organizations that are designed behind Soviet-style governance. Yeah, you know, like the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. That's why we prompted the making of a flag here on Agenda 21 Radio 3 years ago now, called California Soviet Socialist Republic, which is the motto on the flag underneath the bear. So this has been moving in that direction, and we can see it now. All of a sudden they come out, I think, very frustrated because Trump won, and they've come out with the CalExit notion. And they filed, and I predicted this, that they would file immediately as soon as Donald got elected, and they did. They filed their plebiscite, so-called plebiscite, on Monday, November 21st. And this is the letter that we're getting here, and this is to Ashley Johansson, Initiative Coordinator Officer of the Attorney General of California State. It says, per request for title and summary pursuant to Article 2, Section 10D of the California Constitution, this letter respectfully requests the Attorney General prepare a circulating title and summary of the enclosed ballot measure CalExit, the California Independence Plebiscite of 2019, which amends the Elections Code and strikes Article 3, Section 1 from the Constitution of California. Can you imagine that? It's just amazing. It says, also enclosed are the required signed statements pursuant to California Education or Elections Code 9001 and 9608, and a check in the amount of $2,000, and it's signed by a Marcus Evans, Vice President, Yes California Independence Campaign. Now, let me tell you about Marcus Evans. Marcus Evans is one who is very closely aligned with La Raza. That's just a little bit of information about Marcus. There's way more.
Well, let's bring the people up to date. La Raza, it's well publicized. I've actually republished their map, Reconquista de Atzalan, where they want to take over the Mexican cession of 1848, which ceded eight states, present states or parts of states, to the United States, and they want to take it over. But, Paul, they just don't want to take it over. They want all white people to be gone.
That's correct. This is information, ladies and gentlemen. We're not making this up. And by the way, I was 41 years in the education system and 26 years working with at-risk youth, including a lot of gangsters. So I've had a number of run-ins personally, professionally, with La Raza, who never liked me. But, you know, they were always calling me the whitey and the person that they were going to ultimately destroy, or whites in California they were going to destroy and run out of California, or Aztlan, as they call it. And this is not just me speaking. It's in their documentation. And by the way, Dave, if you notice, in the last couple of weeks, La Raza has really tried to clean up their websites and get rid of all that Trotskyite information about running the whites, the Europeans, out of California and out of Aztlan. But it's still there. We still have some of that information. We posted some of it up on our website, agenda21radio.news. so that people could understand what is exactly going on here. But this is, and, you know, and Donald Trump had his little tete-a-tete with the judge for Trump University, in that case in San Diego, and Donald Trump was objecting to the fact that this guy is a member of La Raza. And, of course, ladies and gentlemen, this is the most racist, bigoted organization next to the Nazis. In fact, many Mexicans that I know refer to La Raza as the Mexican Nazis because they hate white people. And their notion is to either get white people to move, but which is what we've seen. I mean, look at what's happened to California, all the businesses and the population of whites that have fled California, or we're going to kill you. And that's really what they mean.
It's an extremist organization with extremist ideals, but they've got a lot of help. You have a contact who sat in on a meeting that I think we should talk about, where certain very specific violent threats were made in the presence of federal officials. Can you tell that story?
Yeah, it just so happened we started as this monitoring of these two organizations. This organization goes on, and they file this document asking to amend the California Constitution and strike out one of the major portions of it. And of course, this portion would absolutely destroy the Jefferson movement, which is exactly what they want to do. So that's where we keyed in on that. But we started to understand that several members of the state assembly and Senate actually attended a meeting. Now, we're trying to clarify as much as possible people's positions on this particular CalExit program. In fact, I just got off the phone. I was on the phone earlier today with the governor's office requesting his clarification on CalExit, his position on CalExit, and his position is, this is from Evan Westrup, officer of the governor of Jerry Brown. It's an email he gave me just shortly before airtime. It says, "Hi, Paul, got your message. I do not expect we will be commenting," meaning we won't be commenting on the CalExit program. Now, the CalExit program has deep ties to Jerry Brown, and especially the Sasakara Foundation. It was the Sasakara Foundation by Ryuichi Sasakara, who was a Japanese warlord in World War II, who plundered all of China, and including he was the guy responsible for the rape of Nanking. And he became very, very wealthy by this plunder. And at the end of World War II, he was actually tried as a war criminal, but the CIA let him off. Because why? He had all this wealth. He ultimately became owner of Mitsubishi and San Juan Bank and other interests out there. And when he died, he left a lot of money, gave a lot of money to the United Nations. I think UNICEF was one of his babies, and also to the United Nations. So he had strong ties to the United States. He was also very closely linked to the overthrow of Sukarno in Indonesia. And that's where Edmund G. Pat Brown comes into play, Jerry Brown's dad. Jerry Brown's dad helped to negotiate Royal Dutch Shell royalties to him so long as oil could flow freely into California. This is back in the 50s and 60s. So Edmund G. Brown got a lot of money for working with Sasakara for the overthrow of Sukarno in Indonesia in the 50s and 60s. And that's where Jerry Brown befriended the Sasakara family and his friends today with the children of Sasakara. Sasakara has since passed away. That's why he left all of his money to the foundation. So,
how do you spell the name Sasakara?
People I'm spelling this. It, and I've seen it spelled several times, S-A-S-A-K-A-W-A.
Sasakawa. Okay. And he was Sasakawa. Ahead of Mitsubishi? That's incredible.
He owned it. That's how much wealth he had. And so this guy was a major... By the way, he was working directly in Italy with the Catholic Church. He learned his Jesuit ways there. And he was also good friends with, guess what? Adolf Hitler.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. So now what they're trying to do, of course, is break up the United States, the One World Order, and they realize, and I've said this so many times now for years on my radio show, they've got to destroy the American Constitution to do that. And here's one of their first steps. Now, it's interesting in the paperwork that they filed, and I'll put this out here, the paperwork that they filed with all this money, with attorneys available to them, it's almost rank amateur. The way they filed it and the information that they have no understanding of either the California Constitution or the United States Constitution. If they just quickly read information about the Constitution and about secession, seceding, and realized that gee, we kind of went down this road when we had the Civil War and lost nearly half a million men. That particular process led to a number of court cases, especially White versus Texas, which basically spells out you can't secede from the United States. It's just not going to happen. So these guys are running up against that wall. But so that prompts the thinking of what would they do next? Now, that's where this meeting comes in. And we've been kind of watching certain people like Kevin De Leon, who's the Senate Pro Tem of the California Senate. We've also been looking at his counterpart, Anthony Rendon, who's the Assembly Speaker, and other members of the Assembly and Senate. It so happens that apparently, and this is the word that we got because I talked to an actual witness to this, and I've also talked to other numerous sources unrelated to the witness, it just so happened, about a meeting that took place a little over a week ago with De Leon, the Senate Pro Tem, the leader of the Senate, and the Assembly Speaker, Anthony Rendon. Now, you got to understand something about the dynamics of the California Capitol. A lot of people in the California Capitol, the staffers, have been offended for a long time that a lot of the newbies that have come into the California Capitol as Democrats speak only Spanish. They won't speak English to you. So you have this whole thing in the state capitol where it's all being taken over by English, Spanish language. And so people are, you know, have been obviously put off by that. So there's a real communication void there, and these Spanish language people understand that. So anyway, De Leon happens to be associated with a story about another senator, former senator, for corruption. The FBI has been investigating De Leon for quite some time. For corruption with another former senator named Calderon, and down in his district down in Southern California. And it's kind of an interesting story, but the point I'm making is Kevin De Leon and the others that were apparently in this meeting are very closely linked to what we think is very strong cartel activity and have been for quite some time, and that's why the FBI has been investigating. However, with Comey, the investigation has kind of cooled. Go figure.
Not surprising.
Not surprising. So anyway, this has been a process since about 2013 when De Leon started to take over to become the Senate Pro Tem from Daryl, I can't remember his last name, but anyway, he's the former Senate Pro Tem. But these people met, and they met, and this is the cast of characters, as I understand it, as I was told by witnesses, by a witness that was there, that you had representatives, at least three of them, that he said at least three were there, from the federal government representing the Obama administration. You had members of the Mexican consulate from Natomas, I'll say it right now, from Natomas, California, in on the meeting as well with De Leon and others. And they were actually talking about how they've activated, quote, La Familia in California.
Talk about that. Tell the listening audience what La Familia is about.
La Familia means the family. La Familia is a gang, a Mexican gang overstructure, if you will. And they basically will work with other Mexican gangs like Sureños and Norteños and so on. They kind of work together when they need to. And La Familia is sort of like that master gangster group that oversees everything. It's run out of the prisons, Pelican Bay. They've got a number of gangster leaders there. And I got to tell you, my history with gangsters and Sureños and Norteños has actually been pretty good, pretty positive. And from the standpoint that, you know, we all understood one another and we didn't do bang on my schools, you know. That was just kind of the way the law was in my territory. And everybody respected me for that. And I respected them. It just wasn't a disrespectful type of thing. But you know, what they've decided to do at this point in time is that they've decided to link up forces with all Mexican, Hispanic gangs in California. Doesn't matter what variety of Norteño, Sereno, or MS-13 you are. We are all going to be in on taking over California and taking it over by force.
Let me interject something here. Since the time that we talked earlier today to the time that we came on air, I had a conversation with a Border Patrol agent who I've had communications with for 2.5 years. He's been highly reliable in everything. What he told me now is and this is not new, but he said it's increased in recent weeks. He said that they are routinely catching MS-13, and you can tell them by the teardrops on their face because that imitates their murder victims.
They also have MS-13 on their neck sometimes.
Yes, sometimes they do. And he told me, he says, we gather them, and this isn't the first time, Dave. I told you this 2.5 years ago when the Central American invasion was going on.
And he said, but now we're gathering them in groups of 8 or 12, and DHS is sending them to various locations. And he said some of the locations they're sending them to is to California. And the reason he said he contacted me is because he read my article that dealt with CalExit and the involvement of possible gangs. And he said, and I'll just go back to what he told me 2 years ago, and he reminded me of this today, MS-13 serves many roles, but one of the roles they serve is to be hitmen against political figures for the cartels.
Right. And if you will, Dave, let me explain that to the public so they understand crystal clear what is happening here with these young men. These young men are raised up primarily in places like Honduras, which, by the way, is where, Tim Kaine served a couple of years working as a Jesuit missionary.
Interesting.
They are raised up there. They're basically taken out of their families. There's oftentimes money that's paid for them, but what they want to do is they want to train them up to be MS-13 hit people. And as with traditional gangs, to get into the gang, you used to be jumped in, and that jumping in process was you suffered severe beatings and so on from the gang members, or it's a gang ritual. But that evolved down in Southern California, the LA gang era, and I was down there at the time, to where it became, if you want to prove yourself in your manhood, if you want to be a gangster, you have to kill someone. And so we suffered through in Southern California murders at an extremely high rate, still do, where individuals, including babies, ladies and gentlemen, were murdered by wannabe gangsters. And now what they've done is that down in Honduras, they've trained up, especially MS-13, they are notorious for this, raising children to be assassins. And there's a number of YouTubes, actually, you can see where this plays out, where these stories that the reporters have gone around and followed these people, where they have an older overseer adult who's MS-13 who calls out somebody to be assassinated, and they bring out a young boy, maybe 7 or 8 years old, and that young boy performs the assassination. That is part of their being able to come across the border into America. A young man who has committed that crime, that murder, is then able to match up with a cartel member. They spend about $7,000 to $10,000 bringing the person forward, and they put him across the border. And that's what we get. That's what they're doing right now, is they're redistributing Homeland Security under the guise of President Barack Hussein Obama, is gathering them up as they come across the border. Now they're not even probably waiting to put him into the, at this point, because their time is running out. Putting them into the Catholic charities, halfway homes and so on. They're just distributing them as orphans. And they're going to find their way in the foster care family system. And that's where they're going to be given their orders to assassinate people. And this will happen.
That's exactly what I've been told. And I want to cross reference this back to someone else. During the Central American invasion of the summer of 2014, I was also contacted independently, unknown to each other at the time, two DEA agents. And these DEA agents, one of them had intimate involvement with this whole cartel, the Sanchez Paredes cartel out of Peru.
Right.
He was part of trying to curtail that, but because he wouldn't play ball and allow a certain amount of drug shipments to come in unabated on a percentage basis, he was removed from his post and he was moved to a stateside location. And the other person knew all about this. And what they told me specifically is that, trying to think exactly, oh, San Salvador. Outside San Salvador, there are two base camps where they are doing paramilitary training for these subversives to come into this country. And we're talking handheld Stinger missiles, 50 caliber machine guns, rocket grenade launchers. And this is straight from the DEA telling me this.
Right. And I've heard those, I've seen that, I've researched it myself, and I can confirm exactly what you're saying. This is and they've been shipping, of course, arms down there like crazy.
Yes.
And even arms into this country, and storing the arms in various locations, various depots, if you will. I know of two, one of them in Ontario, California, and another one in the San Fernando Valley by the Burbank Airport. I know where it's at. And they intend, these are huge arm shipments. I stumbled upon one working with a real estate broker as I was trying to invest in a real estate REIT. And he told me about this as I was identifying arms that were coming off of a UPS airplane that I was standing on a commercial property that we were thinking about investing in, and I could look out on the tarmac of the UPS where they're unloading what I thought were crates of weapons. And this guy says, this is it, by the way, in 1986 when this happened. And he says to me, oh yeah, we've got warehouses all over the place here in Ontario armed with all these arms, AK-47s to small, you know, cannons and so on. I said, really? And I'm sitting there thinking, do I want to invest in that? And of course, this is 86, so you never connect the dots until 2016. And then, I found out about more of them from my sources, and sure enough, they're stashing these caches of weapons throughout California. And now, the other part of this story is that if you live in the Operation Jade Helm area, see, there is a reason for Operation Jade Helm, ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to tell it to you, because it appears that, in my estimation, from what I'm hearing from my sources, they do plan an armed takeover of Aztlan, including Florida, Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, California, Nevada, and Utah and Colorado. If it all comes down to it, they're going to take it over physically, forcefully.
That's amazing you would say this.
Well, it's amazing. I would write it.
But, Paul, listen to this. I wrote an article to this effect in the summer of 2014, mm-hmm. almost word for word for what you said. And the sources were two Border Patrol agents, two DEA agents. And word for word, what you just said, absolutely unquestionable. In fact, this is also going on at Fort Sill in Oklahoma. Now, I'm working from 2 years of memory, so bear with me if I make a mental mistake here. But Bridenstine, I believe is the name, Congressman Bridenstine from Oklahoma, mm-hmm. tried to gain entrance to Fort Sill to look at the refugees, to investigate reports that these people weren't truly refugees. They were fifth column subversives coming into this country with bad intentions. And he was told by DHS at the gate, you need to make an appointment and you can come back later. That's what they told a U.S. congressman. And what they found out later, and they say being they from inside sources that weren't on board with what was going on, mostly military, they were leaking information that they were housing MS-13, other subversives, with high-powered weaponry, and they were undergoing training. And this was the summer of 2014.
Right.
Fort Sill, Congressman Bridenstine.
Well, there it is. I mean, that's just more of, we're confirming more of what's actually happening out there right now.
Oh, man, this is, everything's coming full circle, because where I discovered this, where I really linked it was Jade Helm. You are right 100% on the money, because Jade Helm was what brought all of this together. And it forced an Arsoft source out of the dark, and he started communicating with me because he was so horrified by what he was seeing. And I'm talking a top-level Arsoft person, Army Special Operations Forces, was feeding me information about Jade Helm that really wasn't coming from many other places. I mean, most people weren't picking this up. And it's everything that you just said.
Well, you know, the thing is that this is very scary, because now we kind of know. Again, I've got, let me get my cell phone here. I've got a list of names that we're working on actively right now of other senators and have members of the House of Representatives, state senators and representatives also, in the states of Florida, if you can bear with me as I get my text message machine going here. If this is, hang on one sec, okay, here we go. I'm not going to read the names right now because I don't want to let them know we know, but there's I'll mention the states that we're looking at, California for sure, several in California. Mm-hmm. By the way, Republicans on this list are amazing. Republicans, ladies and gentlemen, Republicans. Out of Florida, Republican out of Florida, Republican out of Colorado, Republican out of New York, Republican out of Illinois.
Let me stop you for a second. I just want to bring some legitimacy to what you're saying, because I know you're right. I've seen a similar list.
I'll throw a name out there. This is Dave Hodges, not Paul Preston, saying this, and I want to make sure I draw that distinction. Ken Salazar, Colorado. He's on that list. I guarantee you, Salazar is on that list.
Okay, I'm he's on that list.
Yep.
That's all that I'm not going to mention it, but this
that's
is
fine. Listen, I want you to play by your rules. I understand about confidentiality. I completely get it. But when you say something that I already have firsthand knowledge of,
right,
and I have come out public with this against Salazar, I've had conversations with Colorado politicians about Salazar, asking them, do you know how bad this man is? Do you understand he's a subversive and he should be in prison for the rest of his life? It's Ken Salazar. And I want everyone who's going to hear this from Colorado to know you have a traitor inside the gates.
Now, the list also goes on to a Republican in Washington State, a Republican in Florida, a Republican in Mississippi, and another Republican in California. The list kind of goes on here. And I'm not really, I don't really want to go on with any more of them, but that's now we understand there have been meetings or there are about to be meetings of the same nature of what we were hearing about that happened in California. Along this line about what operationally is going to happen. Now, one of the other things that we were looking at, and I'll read this from my sources, they're looking at their discussions in these meetings. This is from, this, ladies and gentlemen, is from a separate source, not the source I talked to. This is from a separate source that was privy to the meeting. And I asked the source if this was true, that they were talking about escalation across the Southwest, and also looking at tactical engagements covered by peaceful religious protests. And my source said that's exactly what they were talking about.
Go back to the religious part again. Can you tie that back in for me?
Yeah, this is the Catholic Church and the Jesuits.
Okay, that's exactly what I thought you were going to say. I wanted to be sure about that.
And they're behind it all. I mean, you just have to kind of realize that this Pope, who's a Jesuit himself, and it goes into the history of the Jesuits. People just need to look up the history and find out what's going on. This is the Reconquista of what was lost to Mexico, and actually, by extension, the Pope and Spain, from when Cristobal Colón. I'll use the correct pronunciation as they use in España. Cristobal Colón, when he founded the New World, it was claimed for the Pope and the Spanish king and queen. And they want it back. This is what it's all about. And the best way they can do that is destroy what separated them and destroyed their influence in the Western culture, in the Western United States, or the New World. And that was the Constitution of the United States, which was drawn up by Protestants, Protestant men, 56 of them. And there was one Catholic. But most of them were Protestants, and what this whole nation was founded on was people who were escaping the turmoil in Europe by way of the Catholics, the Muslims in particular, the Catholics and the Muslim, but the Catholic, the Pope in particular, I shouldn't say all Catholics, and that's what prompted Martin Luther to create the Reformation, because if you weren't paying your tribute to the Pope, they were killing you. And then when you decided you didn't like that, you wanted to go to a different religion, which you couldn't do, you became a Protestant, a Lutheran. And that was a no-no with the Pope. And they formed, to stop that, the army of the Pope called the Jesuits, which ran around Europe rampaging in the mid-1500s, killing Christians and Jews, along with Muslims killing Christians and Jews, Christians that were not Catholics. And that prompted people to flee to the New World. And they established the Constitution. The people in the New World remember what was going on in Europe when they formed the Constitution. Our inalienable rights, the Constitution, Declaration of Independence, it was all written with what was happening, the purging, if you will, of Christians and Jews out of the Old World.
I want to go back to this meeting that took place with your source that was there, federal officials. And I want to be as specific as you were with me with regard to the threat. And let me start with my recollection, and then feel free to correct me. What I understood from what you told me was that if these people can get their way legitimately, as you said, legitimate process of withdrawal, using governmental mechanisms to do it, they're going to go violent. And the violence specifically that I remember you mentioned was they'll infiltrate into a crowd, They'll be in cars, and they'll pull out the AK-47s and start shooting white people.
That's correct. That's exactly what my Mexican source told me. Now, I know this because I've heard this so many times in conversations over the years with La Raza. And even threats to me, people pull out guns, they brandished a weapon in front of me to threaten me at one point as a school administrator, go figure. But, you know, when you deal in Southern California gangster situations, this is the kind of stuff that comes up. But, you know, I've had that said to me so many times, and of course I've had these guys that have come across the table and said, pointing at their skin, you know, pointing and said, see this brown skin, how racist can you be, by the way? This brown skin, we're going to eliminate all you white people. And, you know, that's, by the way, if you go and look up all that stuff on La Raza's websites or the information about La Raza, you'll find those kind of statements being made.
I agree, but let me draw a distinction here. I know, of course, as anyone would, a number of Latinos, Hispanics, and they're not on board with this. And then we have the age-old
right.
question, too. What do you do with someone whose one name of the family is Smith and the other is Martinez?
Right.
What are they? Are they friend or are they foe to these people?
Well, you see, what this person said to me is that they are intimidating at this point the extension of the gang's La Familia, everybody who's getting on board with this. There's quite a discussion, I guess, going on in some circles of the Hispanic community, Mexican community about this, as it's starting to bleed out this information about the intent of what they are trying to do here with Cal Exit. And there's obviously, you know, I've got Mexican relatives. Hello. I mean, that's what happens in California. You know, we all get together, Mexicans, white people, and guess what? So there's that conversation. And I don't believe for one second, and I'll say I do not believe that the Mexicans that I know, that I affiliate with, and I love and dear, they're friends of mine, that we're all one family. And,
no.
And the way I look at it is that they do not support Raza, and they don't. This Cal Exit thing, it show you how many people went down there to support it at the Capitol when they signed the petition. They had a pop-up tent, and they had about two or three people out there, and they had their signs out. That was it. These people, the Mexicans generally in California, do not, in my opinion, the vast majority do not support any of what I have said today about La Raza and their intent. I think it's going to blow up in their face. But in the meantime, we have to be prepared, and I think we need to get the information out far and wide that these are their intentions. And quite frankly, it wasn't a surprise to me. I was standing with a large group of people who were listening to this man speak and speak the words I told you. So, I mean, this is not just me making it up. Other people heard this. A lot of people heard this. And it's quite frightening, I know, but we have to get our, you know, grips about us and say, look, this is here and now. This is not made up. This is the action plan that they've got devised. And I said to the guy, because, you know, I said to him, I'm from Southern California, and I went through the L.A. riots, and I saw what was going on. You know, and people can probably remember what happened with the Koreans and the police, the LAPD going to them saying, hey, you got to protect your own property, break out your own guns. Second Amendment, thank you very much, right? And they defended their turf, literally shooting people that most of them were illegal aliens that were jumping into cars with their AK-47s running around shooting people.
Uh-huh.
That was what was going on. And it seems to me that that's going to be the same ploy. And I asked him, I said, is that kind of the MO, what they're going to do? And he said, yes, that, and get into large crowds and protest organizations under the religious guise. And I said, well, perfect. You know, that's an old Trotsky, you know, thing.
Yeah, sure.
Old Lenin thing.
Absolutely. I mean, that is, well, it's Rules for Radicals, too. I wrote
right.
about that last
Saul
week.
Alinsky. Right. Saul Alinsky, who was a worshiper of Trotsky.
And Hillary Clinton was a worshiper of Alinsky. She dedicated her thesis to him.
And so was President Barack Hussein Obama.
Isn't that amazing how this comes full circle?
Yep.
One more thing about what the, I've heard from both Border Patrol agents who do know each other. And they both said to me on different occasions, do you understand the importance of what I'm telling you? And they said it in their own way, but effectively this is what they're saying. They were concerned that I didn't seem to understand that we're talking about fifth column subversion,
right.
where assassination, destruction of public property, mass attacks on crowds... is going to be the order of the day. And let me tell you what else they told me. they said, Dave, do you think that these MS-13 guys and the Los Zetos and the Sinaloas are crossing by themselves? They gave me documents. One document I got was from the Tucson Police Department of 2010, where their intelligence derived from DHS memos said that Hamas, Hezbollah, and the Muslim Brotherhood were crossing in great numbers with the immigrants.
Right. I'm glad you brought that up, because that was specifically brought up in the meeting, that they are in play with this cabal with La Familia.
Is La Familia like a coordinating agency for all the cartels?
Yes. Well, at least here in California, I would say there's each one of the cartels is a little bit more powerful than La Familia, but in California there's a coordinated effort to keep the gangs together, or in line, if you will, including Sereños. Sereño means southern. And MS-13 actually developed out of Los Angeles. 13 is meaning southern. So I think it's the 13th number of the alphabet.
Right.
And the situation with 13, I can't remember the Mali, Salvadoria or whatever, they migrated down into, they were a very brutal gang in Southern California, and they migrated as Sereños down into San Salvador or Salvador. And that is where they've basically been settling into. And anybody who's caught in Northern California, caught in Alta California, I'll use that terminology, California, and they get extradited. They get extradited down into Salvador or any of the locations where MS-13 is located. But these are bad actors, and they intend to kill. They're killers. And this is a perfect situation. You've got kids that have been infiltrated into public schools that are MS-13. I had a run-in, believe it or not. This is the first sign, about a month and a half, 2 months ago, here in my little community, the first sign of this flood of immigrants coming in. And I had an experience at a grocery store, large grocery store. It's a store where you have, when you check out, you have to bag your own stuff, you know. And I was standing there, and I was conversing with the lady, the clerk, and I was paying, and a group of five obviously Hispanics were lined up, and you could tell fresh off the boat, right? And one guy had a bright yellow shirt with a cowboy hat. This did not match. None of them matched. They didn't speak much English. One could speak English because I was listening to him. But I had one of them come up and stand behind me. He's younger, probably about 12 years old. And I realized, you know, when you're working with gangs and gang kids and stuff, you get all the perceptions. So I realized this guy's just kind of looking at my back of my head. So I turned around and I gave him my look that I have always used on gangsters, to which he kind of looked at me like, geez, this guy could be on to me. And so I turned and I looked at the guy standing next to me, who was looking straight ahead. He was, there's something you could tell, there was some sort of connection to what was going on there. And I looked at his neck, and there it said, it had MS-13 on his neck. Mm. And this guy, this kid who was standing behind me, I gave him one more glance after I saw that neck, and I looked at him, and he moved off to the side, not getting in my way. But that's in my community. Now, I understand that language. I understand the staring, the mad dogging, the mean mugging. I understand all that. And that's exactly the exchange that was going on in my community with me, an experienced person with this. Now imagine somebody who doesn't understand that, and you're standing next to two stone-cold killers who want to kill you. That is what your Border Patrol people were talking about, Dave.
Yes. I'll throw one more monkey wrench into this. I know Kathy Rubio. She lives operates out of Minnesota, and she has her own YouTube channel, does really good work. She has relatives in Honduras. These base camps from San Salvador have expanded to Honduras. But get this, she's been there to visit relatives. The U.S. military is there facilitating the cartels and the terrorists.
Yeah.
That's according to Kathy Rubio.
Yeah, I've heard that. And, you know, it kind of goes right in with what happened with the formation of ISIS, doesn't it?
Well,
with the U.S. Marine Corps.
Yeah, yeah. But this is all Barack Obama. Now, let's talk about time frames for a second. I've done a little legwork since we spoke earlier today on this. And what I have come to the conclusion of, now, no one gave me a holistic picture, so I'm hoping we can kind of piece one together here. But what I came to the conclusion of is, one, they're going to try to do it legitimately and get Congress to have a special session and agree to it before Obama leaves office. Two, Obama will actually try to forge through an executive order, and before Trump can undo it or Congress can undo it after the inauguration, it'll be a fait accompli. Three is the violent revolution that you've been alluding to. What's your understanding about this scenario? Is this off base, or does this follow what you think is going to happen?
It follows what I think is going to happen. And, you know, I was speculating earlier today about the timing of when the violence will occur. And I believe it's really going to happen right after Trump takes office, because they are working very, 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 very quickly right now. They have limited time. With Obama in office, they have limited play with the president and all these things, and they know that. And you know what's happening also, as the time window shrinks, the more resistance that's being given by you know, people in executive positions, people who've sworn to the oath, as an example. So he's going to meet with more people resisting that. More border patrols are going to be resisting the orders. Now, I want to get into the military thing, and I want to get into something that is was brought to me as a scenario about children and why we have.
Sounds like you got enemy at the gate right now.
Enemies at the gate right now. Anyway, but what the scenario is?
Well,
is
Paul, let me hold you right there for a second, okay? To the listening audience, of course, you know you're listening to a pre-recorded interview here on the Common Sense Show, and we are approaching our timelines where I don't want to start a whole new genre of discussion. So what I want to do here, Paul, is break this up. And then I'm going to call you back, and we're going to do a part two on the other side of the hour, so to speak.
Sure. Yeah, get in charge of my dogs here, who seem to be...
That'll give you a chance to get rid of those cartel guys trying to sneak in.
That's right.
Okay, I'll call you right back, Paul.
All right.
Chuck!
Boy, was that an abrupt ending, or what? That was terrific. Can you believe what you just heard? Paul Preston's one of the most popular and well-respected radio personalities and investigators that I know. And for him to lay this at the feet of Jerry Brown, wow. Jerry Brown, you're an organized criminal, you belong in prison, and the people of California, well, now you know. Make this go viral, everybody. We can't allow this to stand. And I want to just mention that this interview was brought to you by my good friends at Protovite. And to find out about their product, which will change your blood in 5 minutes, go watch the video. Go to bloodrestorer.com. It's awesome. You take it, and your energy level soars to the roof. We'll be back in hour number three with researcher and economist Robert Kudla, followed by Paul Martin. Stay tuned. We'll see you on the other side. Or... we'll see you on the other side in just a minute. We killed the music here, and I just, you know, had a mental lapse here. We killed the music simply because we did not think we would get out in time. But we did, and there we go. There's the music. The travails of live radio. Back with Robert Kudla and Paul Martin after a brief word from our sponsors.